We cannot be united simply because we sit together in the same room and ascribe to the same speaker or listen to the same music. When we come together, we should understand that we are members one of another, and that each member has value, has purpose, and we need to discover that purpose so that we can function corporately as God's corporate body on the earth. You see, Jesus is the head, isn't he? And he's in heaven, but his body is you and I on the earth. We know that. But God has not given us, for example, as some think, that they're just Jesus to the world, that they're God's exclusive gift to the world, and they don't need to be with other believers. They don't need to go to church. They don't need to gather together because they've got it all in just in themselves. Why should I need brothers and sisters when I'm it? Are you hearing me? And they run around from place to place, and many of them are calling themselves prophet and evangelist and apostle and putting titles on themselves. Many of them are getting on the net and broadcasting from the back seat of their car, and they're experts and they're prophets, and God's given them all these visions and revelations, and there's no unity, there's no connection to the body of Christ. And God's model is that he's bringing all things together in one man, Christ Jesus. He's uniting us all together in a body and not a congregation. And so, in order for us to be effective for Christ, we have to be connected to the body. If you do not stay connected to the body of Christ, you will spiritually dry up. There are people that think, oh, just me and Jesus, we'll have our own church here. God never called us to be islands, amen? It's no longer an individual thing. It's no longer a me thing or an I thing. But in Christ, we are one body, one family. So now we're in covenant together. It's a we thing. And the enemy constantly struggles and fights against that unity to try to disrupt it and try to divide us and make us think that being together in fellowship is really not that important. And you know, one of the things is that sometimes we're not actually having fellowship when we are together. Because the only way we can connect is in the Spirit, is internally. A congregation can connect externally. They can even do things together externally, like Israel of old. But the difference between the old and the new is Israel only had an external connection. In the New Testament, we have an internal connection. And that's why we're called the body, because your body is held together internally by all the parts. And every part of your body, including, like I mentioned this morning, even the smallest member or even your fingernail, has an important part. And it needs to be connected in with the rest of the body. And we need to get beyond just acknowledging that that's true, I agree with that, to that's true, and therefore I must obey the Spirit of God in coming together in a body. If we're not connected in the Spirit, we are not truly in unity. We can get together and we can make external adjustments and we can get along with people and we can shake and smile and say, how you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? You know, and yet not really have fellowship, because true fellowship is in the heart, in the Spirit. And true fellowship is only possible when there is the union of two souls. And that means that I bow my soul to you. And if we submit one to another, then we enter into fellowship. If one is not submitted and the other is, that becomes a dictatorship. But when both are submitted to each other, there is harmony. We can make beautiful music. Amen? So in the body of Christ, if each one of us understands that we must bow our soul to God Almighty, we must bow to the Lord, We must submit to God. And then as we do so, we will be humbled before one another as well. If our relationship with God is healthy, then our relationship with each other will be healthy. You know, when we're walking where we should, and we're walking in the Spirit, it's not a struggle. It makes you want to love everybody. You just kind of connect, you know, you're in the Spirit together. And you is nothing like it, how good and how pleasant it is, you know, for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so don't ever think that I'm not valuable or they won't miss me because they can do it without me just fine. That's what the enemy does. And you know, if you get 100 people all hearing that same voice and listening to it, the enemy has successfully stopped what God wanted to do. Because I want us to take a look, but in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul speaks about the body and how this works, and that it's not something we do individually, but it's something we do corporately. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. It says that the Lord, the head, He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. There's the fivefold. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How is this possible if we're not together? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, or it means complete or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, verse 14. Why is this so important? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And as I mentioned this morning, there are many people that are being tossed to and fro because they're not connected in the body and they're immature in their faith. And so they run around to this thing and to that thing and the latest thing that's happening over here. And they're being swayed back and forth with all these different types of teachings. How many know there's all kinds of teaching going on today? How much of it is really God's Word? And it is important that God has established us in a body where we grow together, where we learn together, where we edify or we build up one another in the faith. Because every one of us is important. Because it says in verse 15, we are to speak the truth in love, that we might grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And from whom, here it is, the whole body, joined and knit together, how? By what every joint supplies. By what every joint supplies. Not just a few joints, but why every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying or the building up of itself in love. Now, the best example is our human body. When every part of the human body is functioning properly the way it should, there's harmony, there's productivity. Amen? Life is good when you're healthy. Life is good when you're strong and healthy. You can be sort of healthy, but not very strong. And you might be able to be strong in some ways, but unhealthy in others. There's two things that we need. We need health in our body, and we need what? Power, right? Strength. We need power and health. Now, it's interesting to me that in some circles, they emphasize the health, but no power. In others, it's the opposite, where they emphasize the power, but there's no health. And we need both health and power to be effective witnesses for Jesus, to be effective members of the corporate body of Christ on the earth. And God designed it so that together we will accomplish His purposes, but not independent of one another. And this is what's being attacked today like never before, is the gathering together of the saints, of the people of God. The enemy is constantly working against the gathering together. Why? Because it is God's plan, and He knows that when we are together, there is strength, there is encouragement, there is protection in the body of Christ. There is life in the body of Christ. I need to be with you because I receive nourishment when I'm together with you. Together we feed. Together we make up the whole. Each joint is to supply what the other needs. You know, the finger joint is connected to the hand joint, whatever. Our hands. I broke a couple fingers, I think. They're kind of crooked now. And I got to go have a look at them. But you know what? I realized since that happened that the things I took for granted and the things I could do, I just picked something up. It's like, oh boy, I forget. Guess what? I'm limited now. Hey, it's just two little fingers, but two little fingers make a big difference in how your hand functions. So if the finger says, well, I'm not all that important, you can do it without me. Well, you can, but you can't do it very well. We are hindered when the body is not working together. And that's why we have to protect the unity of the Spirit. And the way we protect the unity in the Spirit is not just by trying to get along, because you can hang around people all day long and hate their guts. Are you with me? You can outwardly show friendliness and I'm so happy to see you. And then where you're saying, man, I hate your guts. Come on, that's the reality of this world we live in. Are you with me? The people that walk down the streets, they may smile and wave at you, but you don't know who that person is inwardly. Isn't that true? So we can all be fakes. We can externally put on a facade and present an image, you know, but inwardly is where it really matters. Because inwardly is where we're connected. And when we're connected in the Spirit, then we have unity and cooperation, or we can work together corporately. And it doesn't happen again because I'm just trying to get along. Because you can have peace, you know, in a relationship because you're just now getting along with somebody. You know, we'll deal with each other. We'll tolerate each other. Ever have to work with somebody you just tolerated? And you're praying, oh God, give me love for this person because I don't love them right now. And God's grace is sufficient for that, you know. But if we're connected to the head internally, if I'm healthy spiritually, and if I have God's power, I can love my enemies. We can be in unity. We can love people that hate us. Isn't that amazing? How many have discovered you can do that if you pray? And if you confess even your own bad attitudes about people, because I've discovered something and I don't always like it, but God brings people into my life that irritate me because He's doing a work in me. Come on. Amen? Right? And I'm trying to look at it that way. When somebody gets under my skin, I'm saying, okay, Lord, I know that you're trying to, I need to die to myself, that's all. I just need to die to my right to get even or get bad or get mad or get offended. I don't have a right in Christ, amen, to get offended at somebody. If I get offended, folks, you know what it means? It means I'm too full of me. Isn't that true? But when we're armored up and we're in the Spirit, somebody can curse you to your face and you can smile back. Because God lifts you up into a higher realm. There's a place we can be in Him where you're not going to get the darts. The darts aren't going to get through. God wants us armored up. He wants us full of the Holy Spirit and to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So as we navigate through this world, we're not going to be subject to what's happening externally, because we're living internally connected to the head, Christ. And if every member of God's family is connected to the head and has spiritual health and power, then boy, we just automatically just come together if that's where everybody's at. And we have a glorious fellowship, a time of fellowship. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Not because you go around and put on these goofy smiles like the people that knock on your door. And they act like they're just so nice. But they want you to join their club and, you know what I'm saying, join their cult. But I'm talking about the authentic love of God in our hearts. It's not a facade, it's real. Because internally, if we're healthy, it will also reflect externally, and you don't have to fake it. Now, as Christians, we're taught often, because we fear judgment, to pretend, you know, that life is so good. How you doing, brother? Oh, just wonderful. Inside you're dying, or you're really going through something, you know. We need internal health. We need internal strength. When we're connected to the head, Christ Jesus, individually, then together, corporately, we will be an effective tool, amen, a body that God can use. It's not okay for us just to do our own thing. It's no longer a me thing, folks. It is a we thing. You know, I spoke this message this morning, and I know people were tired and they had things to do, and I'm not here to be the judge. That's between them and God. But folks, sometimes, and I've talked to other ministers, it seems like sometimes when you start talking to people about coming to church, it has the opposite effect. But we're not talking about coming to church, going to church. We're talking about coming together in fellowship as a body of believers, connecting corporately to the head and releasing the Spirit or the life of Christ into each member. Isn't it true that when we're together, you receive a nourishment and a strength and an edification that you can't get by yourself? So that's why the enemy attacks fellowship, attacks and tries to divide and get people offended, and tries to get them to disconnect internally so that it can destroy the fellowship of the hearts being together. Because he knows that if people are together in the Spirit and the love of Christ, the world will see that Jesus is real. He didn't say they'll know you're Christians because you go to such and such a church. He says they'll know you're believers because of your love for one another. And it's not this thing where, again, we're just a congregation where we have a few minutes of handshaking. We go around and we say, good to see you, brother. Yeah, yeah. What was your name again? You know. But we need each other, and we need to understand that we're family, and we need to come to know each other so that we can minister one to another. Isn't it true? You can't minister to somebody until you connect. And if the body is whole, if the body is healthy, then as people from the outside come in who don't know Jesus, right away they're going to feel the warmth of Christ, the love of God, and they're going to be drawn to this Jesus that we talk about. But if they come into a situation, it's not here, thank God, but we've got to keep it out like any other church does. But if they come into contention and infighting and jealousy and, you know, all this stuff, they know that. They sense that. Do you know, I think much of the problems that we see in society are because the people of God have ceased to be salt and light. And we blame the people that don't know Jesus and point the finger at them, sinners and those adulterers and those abortionists or whatever it is. And we blame them and say, it's because of you that our nation... No, it's not. It's because the people who know better haven't been abiding in the vine, and therefore the life of Christ is not being released into this world. Because God works through unity. He works through the body. You and I, we will dry up unless we have authentic fellowship in the Spirit. It's tough. God's grace is sufficient for us in times when we can't be together. But how often are we actually listening to God's voice? How often are we just listening to that other voice that tells us, just forget it, it's not that important. No one will miss you because you're just a little fingernail. Well, if you lose your fingernail, there's a reason why that fingernail is there. And it's important. You may think, I really don't have that much to offer. Yes, you do. If there's a congregation of 100 people, and you can bet the enemy is going to come up and he's going to offer you alternatives, excuses. And if you've got 100 people at all decide, devil, they may not know it's the devil. They'll say, I'm not that important. Nobody will miss me. Guess what? You have no meeting. You have no fellowship, and you have no life because you're not joining together in the unity of the Spirit so that you might receive, not only receive the nourishment that comes through the body of Christ from the head, but you're also going to be an instrument that also God will feed others through. Just being in together in a place where we're in unity in the Spirit, there is a release of the anointing and the life of God that's in you, whether you lay hands on anybody or not. It's simply the gathering of our hearts where we're fed together because it's spiritual. Is this making sense? Now, remember on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people gathered together, and it says that they were what? In unity. They were gathered together in unity. And they were gathered together externally, initially. Now, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, something interesting happened. A mighty rushing wind. Amen? From heaven. The place where they were assembled was shaken, and there appeared above their heads cloven tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It was the furnace of God's love that melted this congregation into a body. They became one in Christ. And the unifying force was not simply because they were together. It was the Spirit of God that unified the church, and it began. It is important that we are together and that we corporately seek the Lord. I mentioned this morning relationships. Why do we struggle in relationships? Why? Because there's an internal disconnect. So two things are necessary. We need what? Spiritual health, and we need power. Okay? What do we do when we blow it, when we sin? Yeah. What the enemy wants you to do is he wants you to put it off. Hide it behind the curtain, yeah. When you mess up, he wants you to put it off. And then he wants to throw condemnation on you and throw accusation on you and say, you sinned. Do you think God will love you now for what you did? Do you think God accepts you anymore because of what you did? Are you hearing me? He points the finger and he throws condemnation on you when you sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us always with the purpose of redemption. The devil points the finger of accusation for the purpose of destroying you. What he does is he tries to convince you like he did Adam. He came up and he was the one that told Adam that he was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you sinned? Guess who was telling him? Ah. And what did he do? He ran to hide. He hid from God. Do you know the best thing we can do is when we blow it is right away say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And he does. Thank God he does. If you get an infection in a part of your body, if your hand has an infection, you don't just wait for that thing to continue to spread, right, and infest and destroy the rest of your body. You have to deal with it right away, or that disease or that infection will spread. If we don't deal with sin in our hearts right away, it begins to spread. And so the enemy, even when he gets you in a relational problem with maybe your spouse, he wants you to put it off. He wants you to fret and be angry and hold on to your anger and refuse to forgive your spouse so that whatever has happened can spread and become worse. Are you hearing me? And what he ultimately wants you to do is he wants you to tuck it away and just try to pretend everything is okay. And every time you tuck it away, there's an accumulation of all that filth that never got dealt with because we didn't immediately deal with the infection of sin. So as soon as possible, renounce it. Confess it to God. Amen? Deal with it. You don't run away from God. That's what the devil tries to tell you to do. When you mess up, run right to Jesus. You've got an advocate. You've got a defense lawyer. He's standing there at the right hand. Amen. He is our great high priest, ever interceding for us. And we can come to Jesus. You don't have to go to confessional. Right where you're at in your own heart, you can say, Lord, please forgive me. You have access to do that. And he says, okay. The pet price has already been paid. You just needed to confess it. Just be honest. And don't allow that to spread any further. If you get something in your eye, what do? You don't walk around with that thing in your eye. It's right away you want to get that thing out of your eye. You get a speck in your eye. You know, it's like, oh, you're going to get it out of there as soon as you can, right? Because if you don't, you're going to have worse problems. Not only are you going to live in an irritation constantly, you're going to be miserable, but it can cause worse problems. Deal with it right away. Amen? Spiritual health. Spiritual health is internal health. We can correct things externally and we can put on good behaviors externally, amen, to at least to fool people. But what about the thought life? What about the internal life? See, we have to live, as Paul said, void of offense towards God and man. God internally, man externally. How we are in our relationships. We should be kind, right? And loving and forgiving. But what about the internal life that God sees the heart? He sees where we really live on the inside. How do we deal with that thing? The same way. It's like if I get a wrong thought, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going there. Lord, please forgive me. What the devil wants you to do is just keep going there. Just keep living that thing out. Before you know it, you're sinning. Not only are you sinning internally, but it could lead to an external sin. Amen? In the flesh as well. So deal with these things. Okay, second thing is then, if you have a functioning hand, it has no infection in it. It's a sound hand, right? It works just fine, but there's no power. What good is it? Because it's paralyzed. Do you see, in the body of Christ, we have a lot of paralyzed members. Because they may be healthy, there's nothing wrong with them, but they don't have any power. On the other hand, somebody can have an infected hand, but have a lot of strength in that hand. Amen? And they can go around shaking everybody's hand and infecting others. So everything that we do needs to be submitted to God. We need to be cleansed. We need to be healthy. But we need the power of God's Holy Spirit so that we can do the work and the will of God. You cannot do it apart from the grace of God. You can play church and you can practice religion, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are not effective as witnesses to Christ. Isn't that true? So God wants us to be filled with His power, and He wants us to be clean, internally and externally. I mean, externally, that means take a bath, right? Yeah. I think we have some saints that are very clean inside, but they could use a bath. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was, hey, Sue can't open a jar or something. She'll bring it to me, and I'll try to open that jar. You know, He-Man, right? So I said, oh, no problem, bring it over here, and I forget about those fingers. I grabbed the whole of that jar and went, oh, yes. So what I did is I used my left hand. I made a few adjustments and I got that jar open. But you know, sometimes we're wounded. Sometimes we're broken. Sometimes we just need another member of the body of Christ to come alongside us and minister to our need. Every part of the body is important because together we function. If the foot says, I don't need you, you know that. If you're missing a foot, you're pretty severely crippled, you know? The foot may say, I'm not all that important, go on without me. Well, you're going to be hobbling through life. You're not going to be whole. You're not going to be effective. I don't need both eyes. One eye will do the trick. No, you're hindered. Everybody has an important part. I'm going to ask you one more time, and I'm just about through here. But how many would agree that when everybody that is supposed to be here, is here, it's happy time. Every time. I mean, there is a joy, there is an expression, there is a release of life. When we're in unity and everybody is together, it's wonderful. We have great times with just a few of us. But when everybody is in their place, every member doing its part, feeding the other members, it's awesome. You know, have you ever been in a really large meeting, you know, like in a mega church? Not one that's got the entertainment up front. I'm talking about a church that's on fire for God and they're all individually and corporately seeking the same Jesus. It's powerful because the body's together. I say this so often and I pray, God, move us from being a congregation to being a body. We don't need another congregation. Amen. If I want to be in a congregation, I'll go down to the movie and join people down there. But we are not here to spectate and just to watch the show up front. We're here to connect to Christ the head and to one another and to supply what every joint needs. Amen. Every part of us needs. So, amen. Hallelujah. That's pretty much the message. I want to encourage us to just to think about these things. And in Ephesians, I'm going to finish with this verse, 4:16 in the New Living Translation. Jesus makes the whole body fit together perfectly. It didn't say we make it fit. He says what? He makes it fit. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. I don't know how much clearer that can be. As each part does its own special work, It helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Healthy, growing, full of love. And that's what the world wants. That's what we all want. We all want love. That's what people want. They want to be loved. They want to know what love is. And we see love. His name is Jesus. He is love. God is love. And when we're united in His love, there's an expression of Christ that just cannot be found anywhere else. And the world will see that we're His people because we have love one for another. Isn't that wonderful? And I know we have a body here tonight. I sense that. But everyone needs to understand that it's not okay to be a congregation just to get together and hang out with people and never really be connected and know who they are. But we want to assimilate into a body that will function and be a powerful tool in God's hands to evangelize the world. Yeah. Amen. So don't ever think, oh, I'm just this little thumb, I'm just this little thing. No, you're an important part. Every part of our body is necessary.